Okay, we're going to go ahead and get started. We're coming into the home stretch here. I'm Pat Strahl. I'm the chair of medicine at VA Pittsburgh and vice chair of medicine for Veterans Affairs at the university. I've got a couple announcements for you to just be aware of that I promised I would make. We're doing a raffle. Remember to turn in your bingo cards at the registration desk if you want to participate in it. And we will be recycling name tags. So if you don't have a particular affection for your name tag, give it back to us and we'll use it next year. And then finally, CME is all online, so we won't be handing out certificates. You'll have to obtain that from online, and the instructions are in the handout. Okay, so our next speaker is one of the Medicine Made Ridiculously Simple talks, and this is one of our gastroenterology fellows, and this will be Dr. Moji. And Medicine Made Ridiculously Simple, as you probably know, is a competition among our fellow trainees in the Department of Medicine. Our trainees are challenged to present controversial and often confusing topic from medicine with a short 10-minute summary. And it's been very popular and a lot of fun. So hopefully Dr. Moji is here. Okay. All right. Well, I'll turn the podium over to her. Thank you very much.
Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Akshita Moghe. I'm a third-year GI fellow here at UPMC. And in the next few minutes, I'll give you the scoop on poop. So the objective of the talk is to describe how different stool characteristics can guide diagnosis and decision-making. And the talk is divided into two parts. In the first half, we'll go over how to take a good stool history, mainly touching on color, consistency, and frequency. And then we'll use this basic knowledge to dissect through a GI bleed to diagnose the etiology of the GI bleed and what you can do before you pay GI. So I'm a third-year fellow now, and in my 3 years so far, I've learned one thing, and that is that patients love to tell you about their bowel habits. So you just have to ask. But what you have to remember to get down is the color, consistency, and frequency in that order of importance. So starting with color, poop comes in different colors. Brown is normal. Green indicates quick transit through the GI tract. So a lot of breastfed babies have green stool, and that's completely normal. If the stool is yellow and also greasy and foul-smelling, you should suspect fat malabsorption. This can be from pancreatic insufficiency or celiac disease, and we diagnose it with a 72-hour fecal fat test. Clay-colored stools suggest biliary obstruction, and then your patient will also probably give you a history of really dark urine. If the stool is black and tarry appearing, suspect an upper GI bleed. But if it's black and normal consistency or even hard, check what medications your patient is on. Iron and Pepto-Bismol are the usual culprits in this case. And if it's red, it's probably blood, and we'll come to that. So we love talking about poop so much that we actually have a stool chart to describe consistency. It's called the Bristol stool chart. And in this chart, type 4 and type 3 are completely normal. If on the one end of the spectrum, if it's hard, lumpy stool, then it's constipation. And if it's anywhere from soft blobs to watery stool, it's diarrhea. Step 3, frequency. Having a bowel movement anywhere from 3 times a day to once in 3 days is completely normal. If it's less frequent than that, it could be constipation. We have to ask about duration, so is this acute or chronic? And then any changes in diet, any changes in medications, any lifestyle changes. If all that checks out normal, it could possibly be a motility issue. Diarrhea, it's also important to get down the duration. So is this acute? Is this chronic? Any changes in diet again? Any recent travel? Has this patient completed an antibiotic course? Or if they are on laxatives and they don't know about it? Once we have that information, it will help us go down the algorithm for diarrhea. So we learned about color consistency and frequency, and then let's see how we can use this information and apply it to a GI bleeding case. So there are 50 shades of a GI bleed, and you need to know all of them. No, I'm just joking. It's all you need to know is your stool history, color consistency, and frequency. So let's see why this is important, why color is important. So when we talk about GI bleeding and upper GI bleeding versus lower GI bleeding, we are referring to a particular point in the GI tract, and that's the ligament of Treitz. Here, it's near the fourth part of the duodenum. Here, it's hidden by our splenic flexure. I don't know if I can use this here. So around here. Any bleeding from proximal to this point usually manifests as melena. So that's black and tarry stool. Unless, of course, it's an upper GI bleed that's really brisk, which would then manifest as maybe maroon or red blood per rectum. On the other hand, very distal bleeding can manifest as solid brown stool with bright red blood on it. And what that means, what the brown stool means is that you had a normal GI tract up until the very end, and bleeding is probably like hemorrhoidal or something very distal. And then your 48 shades are somewhere in between. So patient's bleeding, and if the stool looks anything like this, it's not tricky, it's black and sticky. That's melena. So if it looks like that, and you know, you can find other clues in the chart, maybe the patient has a raised BUN from digestion of blood in the upper GI tract, any history of recent NSAID overuse, cirrhosis in the patient. You think about causes of upper GI bleeding. That is, it can be variceal bleeding, peptic ulcer disease, AVMs in the upper GI tract. And very rarely, this can be from the small bowel or the right colon. If it looks like this, bright red and ripping, then it's hemorrhoids that are ripping. In this case, if there is hemodynamic compromise or a lot of red blood, do take a step back and at least evaluate for an upper GI bleed. And then anything in between, you just have to take a pause and assess hemodynamics. If the patient is stable, you can keep them off the table. If orthostatic, move stat to the ICU. Don't call ortho, though. That's just a red herring. So we said hemodynamic compromise, probably upper GI bleeding. No hemodynamic compromise. We're thinking either colonic or small bowel bleeding. And this can be from diverticular bleeding, ischemic colitis, AVMs in the lower GI tract, malignancy, or even post-polypectomy bleeds. So you show up at work in the morning, and then you get paged that your patient dropped 2 grams of hemoglobin and had multiple bowel movements last night. Nobody really saw them. What do you do? Well, we have our basics down now, so we've got this. We go and take a stool history, so color, consistency, frequency. If there's no stool to observe and we don't get a good history, a rectal exam can speak volumes, and it saves you a lot of agony. And this information should help you diagnose whether there's been a GI bleed or not. If you do diagnose a GI bleed, the first steps are always the ABCs. If there is hematemesis, altered mental status in your patient, you have to secure the airway, check oxygenation, check the blood pressure and heart rate. We like 2 large bore IVs in the patient, a stat type and screen, and then resuscitation with either fluids or blood. And the blood goal is usually 7 to 8 grams of total hemoglobin. Start that IV PPI, BID. If cirrhotic, do not forget the octreotide and antibiotics. And that's when you call us, and we'll be happy to come in. So just to summarize what we've talked about so far, a good stool history is a lot of help, color, consistency, and frequency. Make poop your friend. A rectal exam can be diagnostic in a lot of cases. And then try to at least diagnose where the bleed might be coming from, because this can make the difference between life and death for your patient. If it's an upper GI bleed, your patient is probably very sick. You know, some mnemonics to aid memory. Melena, it's not tricky, it's black and sticky. Brighter and ripping, hemorrhoids are ripping, and if the patient is stable, you can keep them off the table. If orthostatic, it's a stat ICU transfer. And then feel free to call us for questions or to come in and help. We are a friendly bunch, and hopefully that was useful. I'll be happy to take any questions if you have any.
Thanks.
No more ice cream. I can see that.
All right. We have time for a couple questions. Any questions from the audience?
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much.